Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. So you've asked us to tackle a pretty hefty set of resources on stock trading.
Yeah, a 3-book bundle plus some bonus material from Professor Tyler Yamazaki. It looks like you're aiming for a really solid grasp of the stock market.
Exactly. We've got stock market investing for beginners, day trading for beginners, and penny stocks, plus his thoughts on the trading psychology of millionaire investors. Quite the lineup.
It really is. And our goal here is basically to boil all that down, pull out the core insights, and help you navigate this, well, sometimes complex world.
Without getting totally overwhelmed.
Right. We want to give you practical stuff you can actually use.
Okay, so the plan is start with the basics, then look at day trading that faster pace than the high-risk, high-reward penny stocks.
And wrap it up with that mindset piece. We'll cover the key ideas, different strategies, best practices, pitfalls.
And the psychology. Okay, sounds good. Let's dive in. Where do we start?
Let's start right at the beginning with stock market investing for beginners. Yamazaki first lays out, you know, what the stock market actually is.
Okay.
It's a place to buy and sell stocks, obviously. But he also stresses it's like a big indicator of the economy's health.
Right. Prices generally go up when the economy's good, down when it's not.
Generally, yeah. Even for good companies. And fundamentally, a stock's price reflects how the business behind it is doing.
Mm.
Businesses sell stock to raise money for, projects, operations, that kind of thing.
Got it. And he makes a distinction between trading and investing.
He does. Trading is usually shorter term, investing is longer term. But he admits he kind of uses them interchangeably sometimes in the books.
Okay.
He even calls day trading a form of short-term investing. So just something to keep in mind.
Fair enough. So is this whole stock market thing for everyone? What does he say?
He's pretty direct, actually. He says no.
Oh.
Yeah. To be consistently profitable, he argues, you need dedication. You need to put in the time for research. It's not something you just dabble in successfully long term.
So luck isn't really a strategy.
Not a reliable one, no. You might get lucky once or twice, but sustainable success takes work.
That leads nicely into myths, right? I bet there are a few.
Oh, yeah. The big one. Investing is just gambling.
I've heard that one.
Yamazaki pushes back hard on that. He says, look, unlike rolling dice or shuffling cards, stock prices are influenced by real things. The economy, company performance, consumer behavior, new tech.
So it's not random chance.
Not if you do your homework. It only becomes gambling if you're picking stocks, you know, randomly. Professionals research, they have an edge.
Okay, what other myths? That it'll make you a millionaire overnight?
Pretty much. That idea that it's a guaranteed path to riches. He brings it back to reality. It's like any business, there's risk. You can lose money. Big returns are possible, sure, but not guaranteed.
And the idea that you need, like, a PhD in finance?
Yeah, he tackles that, too. He says, look, deep financial knowledge helps, especially for certain strategies like detailed analysis.
But it's not essential for all strategies.
Exactly. There are other ways to approach it. Basic knowledge is enough to start, and you can learn more as you go. Plenty of info online.
And the last one, quick and easy money.
Definitely not, according to Yamazaki. Unless you have huge amounts of capital already, which, let's face it, most beginners don't.
Right.
Choosing the right stocks, timing it right, that takes serious research and analysis. It's not just a few clicks.
Okay, so myths busted. What about actual strategies? He outlines a few, starting with trend following.
Right, trend following is basically about spotting a pattern, a trend in a stock's price movement, and then sort of riding that wave.
So buy when it's going up, maybe sell or short when it's heading down?
In simple terms, yeah.
Right.
But the key, he says, is making sure it's a real trend, not just a blip. You need patience, wait for the good setups, don't force it.
Okay. Next up, value investing. This one sounds familiar. Warren Buffett territory.
Exactly. It's about finding companies that seem undervalued by the market. Their stock price is lower than what you think the company's actually worth based on its fundamentals.
So you buy it hoping the market eventually catches on.
Precisely. You're looking for good quality companies, selling at a bargain. But Yamazaki adds a caution. Just because a price drops doesn't automatically make it a bargain.
Could be dropping for a good reason.
Right. Could be real problems with the company. You need to dig deeper.
Makes sense. Then there's growth investing.
Yeah, this one became really popular, especially with tech stocks back in the 90s. It's about investing in companies you believe have really high potential for future growth, earnings, revenue, that sort of thing.
Sounds appealing, but maybe riskier.
Generally seen as riskier, yeah, because future growth isn't guaranteed. You're betting on potential.
And within growth investing, he mentioned something called CAN-SLIM. Sounds like an acronym.
It is. It's a very specific set of criteria. C is for current and strong quarterly earnings growth, like 25% plus. A is for annual earnings growth, same benchmark, over years.
Okay.
N is for something new product, new management, maybe hitting a new high price. F is supply and demand. Fewer shares available can push prices up if demand is high. L is for leader. Is it a top company in its industry? IL's institutional sponsorship. Are big funds buying it? Elm is market direction. You want the stock to be moving with the overall market trend. So it's quite a checklist.
Definitely specific. What about averaging down? He mentions that too.
Averaging down? Okay, this one's aggressive. You buy a stock, the price drops, so you buy more at the lower price.
Why would you do that?
The idea is to lower your average cost per share. So if or when the price recovers, you get into profit sooner.
But the risk is?
The price just keeps dropping. You could end up pouring a lot of money into a losing stock, and it might never get back to where you first bought it, or even your new average price.
Right. Throwing good money after bad.
Potentially, yeah. It's risky.
Okay. And the last strategy in this section, buy and hold. Sounds simpler.
It's definitely a longer-term play. Based on the idea that over time, good companies in a generally growing economy will see their stock prices rise.
So you buy solid stocks and just hold them through the ups and downs.
Pretty much. The big advantages are lower trading costs. Yeah. You're not buying and selling all the time, and potentially lower taxes too, depending on how long you hold.
Okay, that covers a good range of strategies. Now, what about best practices? What does Yamazaki say successful investors do? Research comes up first.
Absolutely. And he means sufficient research, not just, you know, a couple of hours browsing. He says it needs to be a regular, ongoing part of your routine if you're serious, really understanding the businesses.
And for beginners, he advises starting small.
Yes, definitely. Use a demo account first if your broker offers one. Get the hang of the platform. Test your strategies without risking real cash.
Learn the ropes safely.
Exactly. Then maybe start with small amounts you can afford to lose. The goal initially isn't huge profits. It's getting your process right.
Diversification. That's a classic.
It is. And he agrees it's generally good practice. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Mm. Spread investments around. But, he adds, diversification alone isn't enough.
You still need to research the things you diversify into.
Precisely. You can't just buy a random mix. Each piece of that diverse portfolio should still be a well-researched decision.
Makes sense. What about following expert advice?
He cautions against doing it blindly. Develop your own understanding. Use expert opinions as maybe one more data point, but take everything with a grain of salt. Make your own calls.
Okay. And pump and dump schemes, he warns about those.
Big time. Especially relevant later when we talk penny stocks. But it happens elsewhere too. Promoters hype a stock with false good news, people pile in, price goes up, promoters sell, price crashes.
And everyone else is left holding the bag.
Usually, yes. He says you could try to play it, get in and out fast, but it's super risky. Best defense is skepticism and your own research. Ignore the hype.
What about holding on to losers? Is that a mistake?
He says yes. Don't hold on too long. If a stock is dropping for fundamental reasons, cut your losses before they get too big. And conversely, take profits when you have them. Don't get too greedy.
Understanding volatility, that seems key. Prices don't just go straight up or down.
Not at all. They fluctuate. And past performance doesn't guarantee future results. If your strategy keeps losing money, you need to reevaluate. No strategy works 100% of the time.
And keeping a trading journal. Why is that helpful?
It's about learning from your own actions. Write down why you bought something, what your goal was, what strategy you used, what happened, honestly.
So you can see your patterns, your mistakes.
Exactly. Identify weaknesses, see what needs changing. It's a tool for self-improvement as an investor.
He also says don't treat it like a hobby.
Right. If you want regular income or serious wealth building, treat it like a business or a profession. That means commitment, research, discipline, not just casual tinkering.
What about waiting it out? Sometimes doing nothing is the right move.
Yeah, especially in market downturns.
Mm.
Sometimes the best action is inaction. Still follow the market, stay informed, but wait for the right time, the right opportunity, rather than making panicked moves.
And emotions. Keep him out of it.
Definitely try to. Base decisions on research and your strategy, not fear or greed or excitement. If you feel emotions taking over, step back. Stop trading for a bit.
Makes sense. Take advantage of a bull market.
Yeah. Recognize when the overall market trend is upward. That's a bull market. And invest early if your strategy aligns. Bull markets often follow bear markets, so spotting the turn is key.
And always be testing and developing your strategy.
Constantly. Use those demo accounts or small amounts. Focus on increasing your success rate first, not just the dollar amount of profit. Refine your approach.
And never chase losses. Don't try to win it back immediately.
No, that's usually driven by emotion and leads to bigger, riskier bets, often compounding the loss. Accept the loss, learn from it, move on.
Finally, the golden rule. Only invest money you can afford to lose.
Absolutely fundamental. Like any investment, you could lose it all. Don't use rent money, food money, essential funds. Only risk capital you can truly afford to part with.
Okay, that's a really thorough grounding in the basics. Now, let's switch gears to something faster paced. Day trading. What's the core definition here?
Day trading, according to Yamazaki, is all about speed. You're buying and selling, but you close out all your positions before the market closes for the day. Nothing held overnight.
High intensity then.
Very. He stresses it usually requires prior trading experience, serious dedication, and a lot of discipline because the time frames are so short.
He breaks down a day trade into 5 steps.
Yeah, it's a cycle. 1, find an asset to trade. 2, decide if it fits your plan right now. 3, take a position, buy or sell short based on the trends you see. 4, sell or buy back when you hit your target or your stop loss. Basically, exit the trade. 5, repeat, look for the next opportunity.
Okay. What are the pros and cons he lists for day trading? Let's start with the pros.
The big potential upside is large profit margins if you're good and consistent. And, you know, the autonomy being your own boss.
And the cons. I imagine there are a few.
Quite a few. High stress is a big one. You need significant capital. He suggests maybe $10,000 minimum just for trading, plus costs for software, data feeds, good hardware.
That adds up.
It does. Plus the downsides of self-employment, no benefits, potential isolation. You need massive self-motivation. And it's usually a full commitment, often meaning you give up a steady job.
Need to know the lingo too, right? Long, short.
Yep. Long means you buy, expecting the price to rise. Short means you sell, usually borrowed shares, expecting the price to fall so you can buy it back cheaper.
Bear market, bull market.
Bear market is a general downward trend. Bull market is upward. And bid price is what buyers are offering. Ask price is what sellers are asking for. The difference is the spread.
Got it. What makes a successful day trader? What characteristics does Yamazaki point out?
Several things. Continuous learning is huge. The market's always changing. Knowing when to follow your own path, don't just follow the crowd, trust your own research.
Intuition plays a role.
Yeah, but it's intuition honed by study and practice, leading to confidence. They're prepared with a plan, but adaptable. They banish emotions, focusing on logic.
Self-awareness.
Crucial. Know your strengths and weaknesses. A journal helps here. Commit at the right time. Act decisively when the setup is right. Strong personal motivation. And having enough capital to ride out losses, especially early on, lack of capital breeds fear.
He offers some gold nuggets for success. First one, finding the right trades. What's key here?
It's about a measured approach. Trade things that align with your goals and temperament. Use knowledge you already have. Think about your time frame, maybe 5-minute charts for beginners, but experiment.
Methodology matters too.
Big time. Choose one that suits your strengths and stick with it if it works, say, 60% of the time or more. And master a few key trade indicators that work for you. Don't get overwhelmed with the too many.
Another nugget, focus on building key attributes. Like what?
Patience is huge. Don't jump in early. Wait for your entry and exit points. If the conditions aren't right, skip the trade. Faith in your plan. Even during losing streaks, a good plan gives an edge long term.
Objectivity.
Yes. Don't get attached to a stock. Know when to get out. Ignore the noise once you're in a trade. Verify against your plan. Don't expect too much. Realistic profit goals prevent emotional trading. Understand your motivation. And critically, take action, put learning into practice.
Okay, now for the enemies, the common pitfalls. Chasing bottoms and tops.
Yeah, trying to buy at the absolute low or sell the absolute high. Super risky. He advises focusing on capturing the main part of a price move, not the extremes.
Not having a good exit plan.
That's a killer. You need to know when and why you'll get out, both for profits and losses. Plan your exit as carefully as your entry. Use technical levels, but be flexible.
Trying to get even after a loss.
Classic mistake. Letting emotion drive you to make up for a loss quickly usually leads to bigger losses, doubling down, holding too long. Focus on the numbers. Remove ego. Judge success at the end of the day, not trade by trade.
What about sticking with relative trends without research?
Trends can be short-lived. Don't just jump on board blindly. Look at multiple time frames, short-term charts, longer-term charts to get the bigger picture.
Being too focused on one trade.
Right. Forgetting the wider market context, you need both the micro view, your specific trade, and the macro view, overall market conditions, related assets. Keep perspective.
Letting others' opinions sway you.
Successful day traders rely on their own analysis, their math. Observe news, sure, but don't let pundit opinions or forum hype derail your plan. Stay objective.
Timing it wrong.
Spotting a good setup is only half of it. Executing at the right moment is crucial. Develop feel for that based on trends, market strength, buying, selling pressure indicators, and never ever trade on tips or hunches without verification.
And averaging down again, still a bad idea for day traders.
Generally, yes. It ties up capital quickly in a falling position within a very short time frame. Very risky, unless part of a very specific predefined strategy with clear limits.
Okay. He mentions a couple of starter strategies, scalping.
Scalping is intense. Making tons of trades, maybe hundreds a day, for tiny profits each time. Uses big position sizes, super short time frames like 1 minute charts. Needs significant capital, he suggests 25K plus sword.
Wow, mistakes to avoid.
Poor execution, bad stop losses, getting in or out late, just trading too much, over trading. Scalpers often prefer per share commissions from brokers.
And the other starter strategy, fade.
This is contrarian. Betting against the immediate trend, like if a stock spikes up really fast, a fader might short it, betting it'll pull back short term, high risk, aiming for quick gains on those reversals.
Okay, that covers day trading. Now for the really controversial one, penny stocks. How does he define these?
Penny stocks are stocks trading for typically $5 a share or less, often much less. And crucially, they usually trade over the counter, OTC, not on major exchanges like the NYSE or NASDAQ.
And the reputation is risky.
Extremely risky. Potential for huge percentage gains, yes, but also massive losses, often issued by small, sometimes struggling companies needing funds.
And the pump and dump risk is high here.
Very high. Less regulation, less information available. It's fertile ground for manipulators to hype a stock, draw people in, and then dump their shares, crashing the price. Regulations exist, but scams still happen.
Are there any good things about them then? Any legitimate potential?
The main appeal is that high return potential if you do meticulous research and manage to avoid the scams. He suggests digging into corporate websites, balance sheets, looking for fundamentally sound small companies, maybe aiming to eventually get onto a major exchange.
He mentions different places they trade, like pink sheets.
Yeah, the pink sheets are basically a quotation service for OTC stocks. Companies listed there have very minimal disclosure requirements. So there's less info available. Technical analysis can be tricky. Trades happen via brokers, not a central exchange. Requires heavy fundamental research from the investor. Some okay companies are there, but also lots of dodgy ones. Extreme caution needed.
And the OTC bulletin boards, OTCBB.
Better. Generally seen as a step up in terms of transparency. Also run by FEN or IA, lists OTC stocks. Companies on the OTCBB usually have stricter financial reporting requirements than pink sheet ones. Still traded via brokers, but the extra info makes it feel a bit more secure. Maybe companies that just missed a minor listing requirement for NASDAQ end up here.
If someone wants to trade these, how do they start getting into the trade?
First step, open an account with a broker that allows OTC trading, not all do. Check their setup fees, customer service, fees, fixed versus per share. Shop around.
Then picking the stocks.
Yep, from OTCBV or pink sheets. Some brokers have screening tools. Remember, extreme volatility and potentially low liquidity, meaning it might be hard to sell when you want to at the price you want.
Choosing the broker sounds critical.
Absolutely. Look at their platform, research tools, online mobile access, how easily you can move money in and out that needs to be fast and reliable. Check all fees and read the fine print.
He gives some rules to ensure profit. With the caveat that nothing's guaranteed, what are they?
Thorough research is number one. Patience. A disciplined trading plan. Good money management, don't overcommit. Avoid emotional trading. Maybe avoid the chaotic first hour of trading. And again, never invest more than you can afford to lose.
How do you minimize the risks, given they're so high?
Be extra wary of tiny companies with very low prices. They're often the riskiest. Try to understand why the company is issuing penny stocks. Be aware their interests might not align with yours.
And scams are a big part of the risk.
Huge. Less regulation means more opportunity for bad actors, shady brokers, pump and dumpers, companies just looking for a quick buck. You have to be independent, think for yourself, trust your own research above all else.
What about misconceptions? Like, did Apple start as a penny stock?
He debunks that. Most big successful companies didn't start as penny stocks. Price drops usually happen later due to splits or market events. Also, just because it's a penny stock doesn't automatically mean the company is bad. Some might be legit startups trying to grow. And ignore anyone saying it's easy money. They likely want something from you.
So the gist of penny stocks is
high potential for fast big gains, but equally high, if not higher, probability of big losses. Losing trades happen. The goal is to keep them small and be right more often than wrong.
What are the specific risks broken down?
Small companies mean potential financial instability, less professional management. Startups have a high failure rate inherently. Low liquidity makes them easy to manipulate and hard to sell sometimes. And they're highly speculative. Hard to value, prices swing wildly, buyers might vanish when you need them.
Okay, but the benefits if you manage the risks?
Price is the obvious one. You can buy lots of shares cheaply. High potential return percentage gains can be huge quickly, unlike blue chips. High volume can occur, especially with hype stocks or successful startups, improving liquidity. And potentially controlled risk, but only if you're extremely careful, knowledgeable, and disciplined. That's a big if.
What trading strategies work here? Day trading again.
Yeah, the principles are the same buy and sell, same day. But the extreme volatility makes it even higher risk reward. Needs experience, capital, a solid strategy. Margin accounts amplify gains and losses dramatically here.
Momentum trading, chasing the fast movers.
Exactly. Trading stocks moving quickly on high volume, usually upwards for penny stocks due to shorting limits.
Yeah.
Driven by news or hype, requires constant monitoring of news, forums. Buy fast, sell faster if things turn.
Trading between resistance and support levels. Does that work?
It's harder with penny stocks. Those levels can be less reliable due to volatility and manipulation. Strong trends or news can blow right through them. Less predictable.
Technical analysis using charts.
You can apply it, but be aware that charts can be manipulated by pumpers and bashers. The signals might not be as reliable as with larger stocks, and it's complex to learn.
And scalping, making tiny profits many times.
Possible, yes. Exploiting the bid-ask spread on stocks that aren't moving much at that moment.
Right.
Small profits add up. But again, penny stocks can suddenly become volatile. So a position held, even for a short time, can turn into a loss quickly. Needs extreme care.
Okay, lots of strategies. What about best practices specifically for penny stocks?
Do your research, company competitors. Only invest money you can lose. Set limits for profits and losses. Stop losses. Look for patterns. Observe trends. But know they change fast. Stay updated on news. Stay calm, especially during losses.
Don't be greedy seems important here.
Very. Take small, regular profits. Control emotions. Make your own decisions. Don't follow tips blindly. Don't chase losses. Stick to your strategy unless it's clearly failing. Be aware of pumping by others. Keep a journal. Take breaks.
He also mentions focusing on startups.
Yeah, if they have genuine potential, the upside can be massive if they succeed. Be patient. Wait for good timing. Use the high volatility. Try to buy low, sell high. But that's easier said than done.
Okay, that's a deep dive into the risky world of penny stocks.
Yeah.
Finally, the bonus. Trading psychology of millionaire investors. What's the main point here?
The core idea is that the big difference isn't just the money. It's the mindset. Millionaires, he argues, tend to think rich before they become rich. They see money as a result of ideas and action, not something scarce.
So a positive mindset is key.
Huge. Replace negative beliefs about money like it's evil or can't buy happiness with positive affirmations about your potential. Practice gratitude for what you have now. It fosters an abundance mentality.
And they have mentors.
They often do, yes. They learn from people who've already achieved what they aspire to. They find out what worked, what didn't, learn from others' experiences and mistakes.
Try success on for size. What does that mean?
Act now as if you are already successful. dress the part, treat people well, use positive self-talk. It changes how you see yourself and how others see you, reinforcing that success mindset.
And they focus more on earning than just saving.
Right. Saving is important, but the main focus is on increasing income and wealth. Investing in stocks, starting businesses, wealth creation is the priority over just pinching pennies.
They know how to leverage.
Yes. Leverage resources, contacts, networks, time, skills, anything to maximize results. Focus on what works best and scale it. And leveraging people means offering value back, not just using them.
And they don't equate money and time.
Exactly. They see earning potential and creativity, problem solving, good ideas, not just working more hours. Ideas are limitless, so earning potential is too. Thinking exponentially, not just linearly, hour by hour.
Action-based mentality, they do things.
Hostily. Looking for ways to take action towards wealth. Better investments, new ventures, not passive stuff like lottery tickets, taking responsibility for their financial future.
And they dream of the future.
Yes. They plan ahead, set financial goals, and take steps, classes, skills, hiring, help to reach them. They believe their best days are ahead and work to create that reality. It fosters optimism.
Last point, expectations determine success.
Their fundamental expectation is that they will earn money and that their money will earn more money. Their decisions reflect this aim to grow wealth. It comes from that positive, action-oriented mindset that sees wealth as good and achievable. Developing this takes conscious effort.
Wow. Okay, that really brings it all together. From the absolute basics to day trading, penny stocks, and the mindset underpinning success, that was incredibly thorough.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of ground based on Yamazaki's work.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you now have a much clearer picture of the different approaches, the potential traps, and that crucial psychological side of things.
I definitely feel like I have a better handle on the landscape.
Good. The goal was to give you that foundational knowledge and some actionable points, you know, without making your head spin.
So for everyone listening, maybe the next step is to think about which of these paths, long-term investing, the speed of day trading, the gamble of penny stocks, actually feels like the best fit for all.
Exactly. Consider your own risk tolerance, how much time you realistically have, what your financial goals are.
And maybe take one small step. Could be opening a demo account to just play around, or maybe reading more about one specific strategy like value investing that caught your interest.
Right. Because understanding the market isn't a one-shot deal. It's a continuous learning journey.
Yeah.
This deep dive is really just kicking things off.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's policygenius.com.